Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लादनी का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लादनी का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है घर की यादों में वो खो रही है पूछो और माँ का तरपना न पूछो आज बाबुल का रोना न पूछो और माँ का तरपना न पूछो घर घर से डोला चला लादनी का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का प्यारी प्यारी वो गुड़िया भी छूटी प्यारी प्यारी वो गुड़िया भी छूटी हाय बचपन की सखियां भी छूटी सुना सुना हुआ घर का आंगन ले गया उसको साजन सुना सुना हुआ घर का आंगन सुना सुना हुआ घर का आंगन ले गया उसको साजन तुझको जाना था एक रोज बेटी घर घर बसाना था एक रोज बेटी तुझको जाना था एक रोज बेटी घर घर बसाना था एक रोज बेटी तेरा मेका था परदेश ला दो तेरा मेका था परदेश ला दो तेरा ससुरा
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم Yes, it's the time for our bliss of marriage My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia And of course with me this beautiful Tuesday morning is our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhullah Well, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132 084-786-3132 International Overseas Listeners +27847863132 I want to of course welcome our beloved engineer Brother Bonface Let's welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM Haji Faisal Asmal and Company And let's welcome our beloved listeners of Merkaz Sahaba The voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah Today is the 28th of Jumad al-Ula 1442 We welcome our beloved senior Ustad into the program. Ustad, welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to the technician, brother Yusuf Asmal. And we say thank you to our brother Bonface.
Just before we begin, of course, the bliss of marriage, just to a reminder to all the Merkaz Sahaba listeners and Sirius FM listeners, free advertisement on Merkaz Sahaba from now till Ramadan. Please, you can inshallah contact our beloved Haji Suleiman as of our receptionist, 011-854-2990 from now till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. From 8 a.m. till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you can contact our beloved receptionist, Haji Suleiman Esop. Ustad, the listener wants to know here, if a girl, she is blocked and there is no proposals coming at all, is there any specific dua or should I take my daughter to an amil? Ustad, anonymous.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we respond to that question, what Maulana Arafat announced, alhamdulillah, because we know of lockdown and because of the situation, many businesses, they have suffered great losses. So what we decided, with the help and grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, that any business that wishes to advertise on Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, free of charge from now till Ramadan, so you contact our brother Suleiman Esop, 011-854-2990. Obviously the item merchandise you are selling must be permissible, and then we will inshallah advertise it, and it will be free of charge right till Ramadan, 3 months approximately, inshallah. Okay, let's go now to you. You are worried about your daughter. There are three scenarios there. Number one, your daughter is 20, 25, 30, 35 years old. No proposals coming. Now you feel that there is a blockage. So that is waham. That is now just suspicion and doubt in your mind. So that is the first category. So obviously all that you must discard. You, the parents, the daughter must read, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Quran Sharif teaches us, Wa imma yanzaghannaka minash shaitan nazghun. Fasta'idh billah. Chapter 7, verse 200, which shows that a person, when the shaitan attacks you, then you must say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. That is if it is waham and shak and doubt and suspicion. One scenario. Second scenario, that you know definitely some family member, some person, they made some jadu, sihr, or they did some amal or some action in such a manner to cause harm to your daughter and so forth. So you must do the antidote, you must do the opposite. So what is the opposite? Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Shaykhul Hadith Nawarallahu Marqadahu wrote the kitab Manzil for this very purpose, so that you read it daily, and inshallah all the assault impact of the shayateen and the agents and comrades and cronies of the shayateen. So you read the Manzil, it has more than 30 verses of the Noble Quran. Daily you read it, but in menses you cannot read it. So in other days when you are clean, you read it, and in that way there Allah Jalla Wala will protect you from the shayateen al-insi wal-jinn, the shayateen in human form and jinn form. Third one is this, that you say you want to go to an amil and so forth. So my advice will be, the truth is this, 80-90% of the amil today are not reliable. They just there to make a quick buck and make money out of this. If you can find someone who is sincere, devoted, dedicated amongst the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and does not take money, so yes, you can go there to put your mind at ease. But otherwise, what your daughter should do, you should do, is read Surah Baqarah once a week at least. What I mean by once a week, it's long, 286 verses, and most people are not hafiz. If it's a hafiz, in half an hour, 1 hour, you can read the whole surah. But nevertheless, remember, in a case like that, that you read every day few pages, and in a week then it's completed. You do that, and Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, authentic hadith, وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُهَا الْبَطَلَةُ. The evil forces cannot overpower it, cannot overcome it. In Sahih Muslim it's mentioned. So daily give out charity also. Most important lesson in all this, you the parents and you my daughter and sister, you must have husnu dhanni billah. Always remain positive with Almighty Allah. Is hadith Qudsi. Qala Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qala Allahu Azza wa Jalla. Allah Jalla wa la states, Ana akunu ala dhanni abdi bi. As my servant and slave thinks of me, that is how I will treat him or her. So that is of paramount importance.
I see Ma wants to know, dear Honorable Mufti Saab, why are there so many masajids closed, Mufti Saab? Is there a problem amongst people, Ustad? Amongst us, we Muslims?
Remember that the masajid where we are, with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, are open. But it is true what you are saying, Ma, Nani Ma, that you go to Cape Town, you go to some other parts of South Africa, you go to other parts of the world, then you will find many, many masajid are closed. So there are three different scenarios. Scenario number one is, some countries, some places, the governments have closed it. So in a case like that, if the ulama, they have the courage, they have the iman and conviction, they should go to court. So at least you try, and that is called ma'aziratan ila rabbikum. Ya Allah, every legal avenue we tried so that to open your house, and at least we can say on the day of justice, just to say the government did so, so finish, we must be like slaves, and they are slaves and just accept it. No, the Muslim can mobilize, organize everything. How, yea, in South Africa, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib Hafidhahullah of the Majlis, under apartheid, you must remember, he took on the government and he won the case and he stopped the highway, and the masjid is still there in PE. So that is the sincerity, the ikhlas, the ta'alluq ma'Allah, that he formed Jusa, Jamiat Ulama South Africa, 1970. What you see today are actors. You must remember that. So we're not speaking about them. They did the opposite. Jusa, Uksa, all that. They are the people who went to court to close the masjid. So you must remember that. Take the Jamiat Ulama KwaZulu, exclude them, and exclude the one group in PE. So we're not speaking of them. They are, you must remember, an indelible stain on what they did. So we disassociate ourselves with them totally. So that is what the ulama have to do. That is if the government closed it. Second one is this, that the ulama, so-called ulama, you can't even call them ulama, they become puppets and they become people who instill the fear and panic in the people. And that's what's happening in Cape Town, in other parts, you must remember, that you will see, they will say, no, the masjid is the super spreader and the masjid is the place from where you will get sick and so forth. If you make sins down the carpet, then you'll get sick. So remember for them what the doctors, the professors said, that has become greater than what Allah said, Allah forbid. Quran Sharif teaches us Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 114. وَمَنَ أَظَلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِلَ اللَّهِ أَيْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَ اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. That who can be a bigger zalim, oppressor, transgressor than him? Who prevents people from the masajid of Allah? Allah's name is taken, and they are the one who strive to destroy it. One is you go there with a hammer and with a pick and all that, you break it. So that is also destroying the masjid. One is you close the masjid yourself. That is also, it's not your house, it's not your family's house, it's not anybody, it's Allah's house. Who gave you the right? If somebody is sick, he don't close his shop. If somebody is sick, he won't close his bakery. So who gave you? The imam does not have the right. The trustees don't have the right. So they are guilty of a major, major sin. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. When they want to enter, they enter with fear. The last one in and the first one out. Allah states, Surah 2, Chapter 2, verse 114, لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For them is humiliation, disgrace. You can see the disgrace they are in. So you must remember that, and the year after is even worse, a horrible, terrible punishment. So with these type of people, remember, they must be exposed, and you can't even read Salat behind most of them, because some of them, by fatwa I gave many times, certain people we can't read Salat behind them. They sold the whole of Islam. Third one is this, so you must remember that the trustees close the masjid, the imam close the masjid, you the people go to the mosque and read there in the courtyard, in the yard, wherever they are, and you demand from them. Just this week here, one person from Cape Town, that he phoned and contacted me, I don't know him. He says, I want to go and speak to this ulama, and I will honor them also, I'll give them a good hiding if they don't open. So we don't promote violence and so forth. So we told him, no brother, no violence, but yes, you must speak to them. No one has the right. It can be the sheikh, it can be the imam, it can be Maulana, it can be Mufti Sahib, whoever. So it's a major, major sin. I give you one easy example. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim, Ahabbul biladi ilallahi masajiduha. The most beloved place on this earth is the masajid, the mosque. And wa abghadul biladi ilallahi aswaquha. The most hated, detested place, remember, the market, the bazaar, the malls. These same Maulvi sheikhs, they will go to the malls, they will go to the bakeries, they will go to the supermarkets, everywhere. But to go to masjid, they have a problem with that. You see how things are upside down? So you must remember, when we enter the masjid, what we say, Allahumma iftahli abwaab rahmati. There Allah's mercy is coming down. And in the mall, Allah's curse is coming down. But you see, when your mind is warped, or you want to bootleg governments and politicians and so forth, then your thinking also becomes upside down. Allah Ta'ala protect us from such scholars who are selling the deen, and people who have become such that they will do anything, and they will even call for the punishment of Allah. Therefore, we have to speak about this so that Almighty Allah has mercy on us.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, yo, Ustad, a listener, move this up. I leave my work at work, and my family time is my family time. So when my boss calls me after hours, I don't answer his calls, and he says I show no initiative to work. Move this up. Does my family not have a right over me, Ustad?
When you started working by ABC company, you must have had some contract, verbal contract, written contract. These are your hours. So you tell the boss, fine, I will show the initiative that I will come after hours, but you will have to pay me for some overtime. You will have to give me some perks, some exchange. You can't expect that I must be working that 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever, and then you call me and I must leave my family and so forth and so on. So you also must put your cards on the table. And therefore, Quran Sharif taught us, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ. Woe and destruction to the people who commit the crime of tatfif. Tatfif means, in the Quran Sharif, what is mentioned, people used to go and buy. So when they are buying, they want the full measurement, the full weigh. But when they are selling, they want to give short measurement, short weighing. So all my Allah condemn them. But Islam teaches us a tatfif fi kulli shay. A person is working somewhere, you are working properly, you are doing your duties, so remember then, but the boss wants to underpay you, or he wants you must work more and more, but don't pay you. So that is tatfif from his side. So he is guilty. And if he, the employee, he doesn't work properly, he's supposed to work 5 hours, he works 3 hours, 4 hours, so the tatfif and the wrongs is from his side, so then he will be condemned. So Islam is there for justice for all parties. Second one, you must remember Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam farewell advice to the ummah, as-salah wa ma malakat aymanukum, guard your salat, and you must look after the people over whom you have authority. So tell him that these are my hours, I am prepared to come, but what are my incentives, what are my perks and all that. renegotiate the contract with him, and that what you are doing, remember you are not guilty of any crime. Yet the extra time, free time, leisure time is your family time. 100% you are correct.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, yeah, dear Mufti Saab, I have a very good husband, shukr to Allah. But however, he beats the living daylight out of our kids, our children. I can't stand this, Mufti Saab. He says he is only teaching them discipline. Is he right in doing this, Ustad?
Totally haram. You must remember, my brother, one side you are good to your wife, but your ma'asum, innocent children, 4, 7, 9 years old, you beat them up. You know what's going to happen? That when they grow up, they will be 18, 20. By that time, you will be 50, 60 maybe. So then, they might just turn the tables on you. The 2, 3 sons get together, and then they will donor you and give you a good thrashing. Because you didn't instill love in them for you. You instill a hatred in them. You must remember. Simple example I give you. Example I'm giving. I'm running a HIFS class. I got 8, 10 students. I'm not running anything, a HIFS class. I'll just give you an example. So I got 8, 10 students, and I beat the daylights out of them. So what I did, after 1 month, one student went away. After 2 months, another one. After 3 months. So instead of instilling in them the love for Quran Sharif, the love for the Sunnah Mubarakah and Islam, I made them hate the Quran. So they left the HIFS, they left everything. So who is the guilty party? Obviously, I as the teacher am the guilty party. So you might be thinking that your justification is this discipline. So discipline is good. But the manner, method, the modus operandi you are using, that is totally un-Islamic and haram. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you must tee wala tadribil wajh. You can't hit on the face. It's haram. And you smacking them with your hand on their face and so forth, and swearing them, cursing them. Now what you have to do as parents is this. Speak to Almighty Allah, Surah chapter 46, verse 15. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. Oh beloved Allah, you bring about piety, reform, goodness in my progeny, in my children. You must be the one, oh parents. Surah 25, verse 75. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Ya Allah, grant us as spouses and children that are the coolness of the eyes. O parents, you are the one. Surah 14, chapter 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 40. Rabbi ij'alni muqima salati wa min dhurriyati. Rabbana wa taqabbal dua. You will see everywhere in these three ayats here, the word dhurriya is mentioned. Ya Allah, make me from those who establish the salat. I read namaz, I make others perform salat. Make my children also like that. Rabbana wa taqabbal dua. Accept the dua, Ya Allah. So that's one thing. Second thing, yes, they are mastan, they are naughty, all that. Man, I go to my hometown and I meet some old people, but most of them passed away. But nevertheless, they used to tell, they tell me till now, you know how naughty you were and used to do this, do that. So obviously that is an age where you are going to do some funny things and so forth. So remember, then you detain them, you cut their spending money, you cut away their perks and what have you. So there are many ways that you can go and instill the discipline in them. But you beat them up, hit the daylights out of them. So you are instilling hatred in their hearts and minds for you. And remember that sometime they will make baddua against you. They will curse you and their ma'asum children. And the oppressed person, if he makes dua against the zalim, the oppressor, ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom, beware and fear for the bad dua, the bad dua, the spelling will be the same, B-A-D. So the bad supplication the oppressed person makes, falaysa baynahu wa baynallahi hijab, between that oppressed person and Allah, there's no curtain, no veil, meaning the dua gets accepted immediately. So you must stop immediately, brother, and remember that try and and instill discipline in different methods that I showed you. And don't forget the three du'as for every parent. Excellent, powerful du'as.
Ustaz, let's go to four ways. There's a listener says, we are listening to Merkaz Sahaba right now. We were married in community of property, dear Honorable Mufti Sahab. We were advised by a Mulana that this is not a Sharia marriage and went to court to dissolve the court marriage. Ustaz, are we still Islamically married?
Yes, Islamically your nikah is still valid. No problem with that. Your nikah is still valid. So what the Mawlana told you is correct to a great extent. Because what happens is, once you are married, COP, that is how you are registered. So then when you draw up your Islamic will, remember, then a person can go, the wife can go and claim her 50% and then still claim her other portion, and or the husband can go and claim is 50%. So all this is against the Islamic law of inheritance. So therefore, he gave you the advice was correct. So now when you go and re-register, then re-register your marriage that you ABC husband, you XYZ wife, ANC without, excluding the accrual system. ANC, yeah, got nothing to do with a political party. So ANC means anti-nuptial contract, excluding, without, you can say excluding, without, the accrual system. So that is how you must register. So what is the benefit of that? Now when you draw up an Islamic will, then it will be valid and nobody can contest it as well. So that is the benefit. Your nikah is totally valid. You got no problem with that.
Listener says divorce is a despicable word that should not be uttered at any time, dear Mufti Sahab. But Mufti Sahab, we were sitting at a supper table and teasing each other. I'm repeating my phrase, teasing each other. To scare me, my husband said, I give you three talaqs with immediate effect. He said this jokingly, and we carried on teasing each other. Mufti Sahab, my son says that we are now officially divorced. Is this true? Ustad?
100%. You must remember, Thalathun jidduhunna jiddun wa hazluhunna jiddun. The three things said seriously is seriously. And you say it jokingly, it is taken seriously in Islam and Sharia. So what are the three things? And nikah. One is nikah marriage. One is talaq, divorce. One is raj'ah. And remember to take back the wife during the iddat. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So you know, and you're supposed to know, your example is like this. This is your example. You made wudu, and thereafter you said, let's play some prank, let's play some fools. So who can now let the wind come out the loudest? So you all came out the loudest, and you said, now I was just playing fools, and then you go read Salat without making a new wudu. So that is what you did. In your pranking, teasing, fooling one another, so you uttered the word talaq, and you said thrice, so all three talaqs are valid, your marriage is finished, you can't be together, you can't reconcile, you can't remarry. You, the wife, if this happened yesterday, this morning, so you must be in iddat, remember, and your iddat will be the waiting period, 3 menses, according to the Hanafi and Hanbali scholars, and according to the Shafi'is and the Malikis, remember, the iddat is 3 periods of cleanliness. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. A person drives 150, 200, the police stop him, he say, no, I never knew. So that is no excuse. So you can't plead ignorance here, that you are guilty on all accounts. There are no mitigating circumstances here. Your marriage is finished, and don't waste time going by this Maulana and this Mufti and this Salafi. You will get some crazy guys who will tell you that it's only one talaq. Remember that Quran saying 3 is 3. Remember Hadith saying in Bukhari Sharif, the Hadith is there, 3 is 3. And you must remember the ittifaq and consensus of the 4 schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanafis, the Hanbalis, they all say 3 is 3. Any imam, any sheikh, any organization, any grand mufti who says that 3 is 1, we reject him and that organization totally. So brother, sister, don't fool yourself. If you're living together now, you're living in sin, and every moment Allah Ta'ala's curse is on both of you.
Ustad, somebody says, I went to see a boy for marriage, Ustad, and he did not know he has COVID, but due to his hospitality and conviction, in Allah, He allowed us to come see Him. So Mufti Sahab, starting on a note as crucial as marriage and hiding a sickness, should I accept his proposal if he agrees to start, Anonymous?
So it's not that now you will definitely get sick or something like that. So sometimes people just think that if you just go and sometimes people don't even know they got illness and sickness. And even if he got it, and what, so he came to see you. So in that way there, if you are happy and your parents are happy, so you make Bismillah. But if you are not happy or your parents are not happy, any one of the two are not happy, then you decline it and say no. But don't base your decision on that COVID story. You must base your decision on the Aqidah. Does he belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah? He's not a Shia Kafir, he's not a Qadiani non-Muslim, he's not the Aga Khani and all these type of people. Second one, that he reads Salat, his income is good and halal, and remember, he's got good character, his age is right, compatible to you. So these are the issues you look at, and if you're happy, your parents are happy, then you make Bismillah. Yesterday, I give you an example of this. Yesterday or day for yesterday, because every day I'm giving answers, you know, I don't remember exactly. So, question came very similar, therefore I'm mentioning to you. So, a Maulana, we don't know his name, we don't know the girl's family, they just sent me the WhatsApp or the email, and they said the Maulana ABC came to see their daughter. The parents were very, very happy, elated, delighted, and they wanted their daughter to really say yes. But the daughter said, I don't want to get married to him, and I'm not really happy to marry him. So the parents were disappointed, so they're asking me, what should we do? So my answer to them was, no, you got no right Islamically to impose it upon your daughter who's 18, 19, 20 years old, because he's a Maulana, so therefore she must get married to him. No. So you must remember that she's not comfortable, she's not happy, whatever the reason might be, but she feels this person, yeah, is not the right person. So you must remember, so in that case, that your parent should not coerce her. You should not impose upon her. Mm. Remember, Islam has told you make mashura, but don't impose upon her. It's a lifetime decision, so you should respect her feelings as well. So that is the advice we gave in that scenario.
Let's kill two birds with one stone, Ustad. One question says here, dear Mufti Sahab, some ulama say take the vaccine, there's khair in it. Some ulama say don't take the vaccine. That's number one. Number two is, a listener says, Mufti Sahab, how will we go on Hajj now with the new regulations? We need vaccine passports. Ustad.
Remember that regarding the first issue, some people say it is take it, some say don't take it. First of all, in South Africa, as things stand now, I'm speaking to you today, it's voluntary, it's not mandatory, it's not compulsory. And if they make it compulsory, I don't know how many court cases there will be against the government. So that's the first thing. So remember. Second thing, we are Muslims. So we discuss things from an Islamic perspective. We don't have to curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician or government. Remember that nicely. Our function is to speak the truth and defend the Sharia, not curry favor and appease anybody. That is second point. Now let us see what is in that vaccine. Mm. So in the vaccine, they have pork, they have porcine in it, khinzir, sewer, swine, call whatever you want to. Now, by which stretch of which imagination can you legalize that and say it is permissible? So remember, the Arab ulama in UAE, they said yes, it's permissible. But we all know how the Arab countries function. You must remember that they have to toe the line with their governments, otherwise they will be sent to jail or they will be fired and so forth. 99% of the Muslim countries, Arab countries, work like that today. So that type of fatwa is not worth the paper on what is written. Pork and porcine is haram, and remember, imagine in your body that pork comes in via that vaccine. So who can legalize that? But in South Africa, you got some crazy maulvis. Pehle the mufti masail ke batane wale, ab bhi hai mufti mufke khane wale. So mufatiyas, we can call them. So they have legalized it and said, yes, it's permissible. Just to curry favor with government, that's the bottom line. Like how to close the masjid was just to curry favor with the government. That's the bottom line. We need to be honest about about these issues. So we reject them totally. We say salat behind them also not permissible. So you must remember, that's one scenario. Second scenario, go to the Pope, go to the Vatican. And this question was posed to them, that in these vaccines, that it contains parts of the aborted, the fetus that was aborted. A lady was pregnant, she went for abortion, so they took parts, the tissues of that aborted fetus, and then it is used in that vaccine. So now, by which stretch of whose imagination in Islam can you allow that? I'm asking you. This, I'm giving you all the dalai and evidence. So absolutely, totally haram it is. This is a big thing you must remember, that they want world control. They want, we cannot think critically. We cannot think in such a manner. We must become zombies and controlled by them and so forth. That's the hidden agenda. So we need to expose all these things here. So you must remember, in a case like that, so we will say that it is haram and not permissible as far as vaccine goes. The next question you posed, that you said for Umrah or for Hajj, the vaccine becomes compulsory and so forth. Then there's an article already written by Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, Hafizahullah of Majlis, and he said in that case there, you must not take the vaccine. And remember, then you don't go for Umrah, Hajj, and Allah Ta'ala will ask you why you didn't go. You say that these were all the conditions they imposed upon me, so therefore we didn't go. So remember that if anybody wants Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai's fatwa, that he sent it out, so it's gone viral, so we can practice on that as well. So remember, you don't have to go. So in that way there, there is no sense you go for Hajj, but inside our bodies we got all swine and what have you. So therefore we will say that we make dua to Almighty Allah, all these impediments, all these obstacles are removed and things come back to normal. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. Verily, Almighty Allah has power over everything.
I see the brother says, dear Mufti Sahib, I think you should have your facts straight. You are not a doctor to say that vaccine is not allowed. What about ivermectin? The brother will start.
Brother, we don't worry about what doctors say. That's the point I'm making. That we are not, we have to worry about what the doctors say or what the scientists say. We have to say what you must remember the Sharia says. So that is what we are speaking about. So whether ivermectin or whatever you want to call, the government is not allowing it, first of all. You know they're raiding some hospitals, some doctors and all these type of things. So you need to get your facts straight, my brother.
21 minutes to 12. We're going to go, inshallah, for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Don't go away. Stay tuned. 18 minutes to 12. It's a beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning, part one of the bliss of marriage. I see our friend says here, dear Mufti Sahib, could you please explain to me why do it says here, if the kalima of the Shia contains Aliyun Waliyullah, then why is it not allowed for it to be recited in the tashahud prayers? I'm recording, Mufti Sahib.
Yes, record it and send it out viral also. Alhamdulillah, the truth will always prevail.
Ameen.
That always you tell us, we don't fear people. Alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah, Allah always protects us.
Ameen.
So my brother, that if I can call you that anyway, so you must remember that when I was in Iran, it was a Monday, the first of Rabiul Awwal, I landed there. And when I went out, we were taking our luggage and putting in the taxi. The person who would take me around everywhere, Zaria. That was my agreement with them. So anyway, they uphold their agreement. What is right, we must speak. We mustn't lie. So anyway, all that was done. And then suddenly the adhan went. And I heard the adhan, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah Aliyun Waliyullah. My brother, I want to ask you three questions. Number one, the Quran Sharif states, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islama Deena. The deen was complete. So you must remember, in time of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so how and who introduced that? So Almighty Allah taught us in chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 3, deen is complete. And if there are final touches to be put, Mustafa Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and in Ibn Majah and so forth. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin. You must follow my way, the way of the rightly guided khulafa, and the way of, you must remember, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Ali. Did any one of them do this? No. So who gave you the right? So therefore that is called bid'ah. Therefore we say clearly, and you're recording very good, we say clearly Shias are 100% kuffar. Mm. Everything of theirs is different. I give you 5 examples. Kalima is different. You say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah Aliyun Waliyullah. Adhan is different. Salat is different. Fasting is different. Husband-wife relationship is different. You say you can fulfill the conjugal rights with the wife and you can sodomize her also. The Shias, they love backdoor business. And I have the Shia tafsir by me. In there they wrote that ityanul adbar is jaiz, that is to sodomize the wives is permissible. That is Shias. Khomeini, the non-Muslim, la'anahullah, writes in tawdihul masail, you can make muta prostitution for 1 hour. That is your Shiaism. So you go and tell your elders, they must answer all this. Islam is complete. Who gave you the right to bring about additions and so forth? So did Sayyidina Bilal ever give azan like how you give? Did Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum ever give azan like you give? Did Abu Mahzura radiallahu anhu ever give azan like this? Did Sa'ad al-Quraz radiallahu anhu ever give? These are 4 muazzins of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore Shias, everything, your huzu is different. I haven't found one chapter where we are same together from A to Z. That there must be difference because we are Muslim and you are kuffar out of the fold of Islam.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, Ustad. Ustad, growing up, I used to read books by Harun Yahya, and I found them informative, such as Parish Nations. But Mujtab, I came across an article that he's a cult leader and has multiple criminal offenses. Ustad,
regarding the previous question to say Aliyun Waliyullah, so that is not say the Ali radiallahu ta'ala and whose distinction only. Almighty Allah informs us in Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 55. So very easy reference, chapter 5, verse 55. 5. So chapter 5, verse 55. Innama waliyukumullahu wa rasuluhu. Verily your protector is Almighty Allah wa rasuluhu and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Walladheena amanu. And those people, they will always be under the protection of Allah as well. Walladheena amanu alladheena yuqeemuna salat. Those who establish the salat. Wa yu'toona zakat. And they pay their zakat, if zakat is due upon them, bahum raki'un, and they are submitting to Almighty Allah, or they perform ruku with khushu, khudu, devotion and concentration. Chapter 5, verse 55. So Almighty Allah is showing every Muslim who is a pious Muslim can become the wali of Almighty Allah. So therefore, we should understand that to use these words and say, it's confined to Sayyidina Ali, is the propaganda of the kuffar Shia. Regarding the question of Harun Yahya, people in the starting already, they were very, very, you understand, impressed. I always used to warn them that this person is not authentic. And then everything started coming out. You'll find all these chips here. You must remember, they'll come there on TV, they will come on radio, they will write impressive articles, and people get, you know, carried away because of their accent or because they are fair in complexion, white is right, and so forth. And then all the scandals come out. He's on rape charges, or he is on trafficking charges, or he is on other criminal charges, and he rejects hadith. You must look at Harun Yahya's works. 80%, 90%, he undermines hadith. You must remember that. So these are the people, the inside enemy. Garakachor, you must remember that. How if you go to Turkey and you go to other parts of the world, you have the Gulen movement. The Gulen movement a bunch of shaitans, you must remember that. So they want to destroy Islam from within, just like the Qadianis, just like the Shias, just like the Aga Khanis, and so forth and so on. So they are, you must remember, always sponsored by the West to cause harm to Islam and Muslims, who are the true Muslims.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. A listener says, Ustad, is it permissible for young unmarried women to go for finishing classes to learn how to be a lady, like, and how to carry themselves? A lot of our young girls are obnoxious. They laugh out loud like hyenas. Ustad, anonymous.
So you must remember that obnoxious, that's the word there. But anyway, so for what? What the parents are doing? Can the parents teach them akhlaq and manners and morals and all that? For what they have to go here and there and all these type of things? The whole thing starts at home. In Islam, we say, al-ummu al-madrasatul ula. This is a proverb. The mother is the first madrasa. If the mother herself, you must remember, does not have direction, orientation, then you don't expect much, you must remember, from the daughter. You know, I taught there in Newcastle. I was in Newcastle 20 years. I'm here 20 years. All the mercy of Allah, Azza wa Jalla, is only Allah's mercy. So you must remember, I could tell you exactly that this student here comes from a stable home. This one comes from a broken home, this one. Because you must just see the interaction of the student and so forth. So today, that's where we are. That we neglected and shirked our responsibilities. We just give money, give PlayStation, give cell phone, give computer, and you get busy. Don't waste my time. So remember that that is the attitude and mentality of the parents. Parents have become the enemies of their children. And then when the children rebel and are disobedient, who you blame? So you blame yourself, the parents. This morning somebody contacted me and they gave me some problem. I said, see, you are very close to me, but I have to speak the truth that your son, your daughter might be a problem. But the bigger problem is you, the parents also, that why you didn't give them this orientation, this directive, this guidelines. So therefore, Quran teaches us, Surah 66 verse 6, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and save your children from the fire. So there's no business in Islam, you must go here, go here. All that must be taught by the parents. That is the parents' responsibility.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. Yes, just a quick reminder, 3 months free advertisement. Yes, 3 months free advertisement, inshallah. You can contact our beloved receptionist, 011-854-2990. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, please explain to us talaqul mughalladha, Ustad. And can it be, of course, reconciled with talaqul mughalladha? Anonymous from Mayfair, Ustad.
Talaqul mughalladha means you must remember that 3 talaqs are given, whether it be given over a period of time or whether it is, you must remember, given one time. So all 3 talaqs take place according to all 4 schools. No sense looking for loopholes. In a case like that, they cannot reconcile, they cannot remarry. The Quran Kareem states that after the iddah, she must get married, if she wants to another person, the Zawjasani, the second. Then it must be a permanent marriage. After 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, he passes away, the second husband, or he divorces her, then she goes into iddat. Then if she wants, she gets married to the first husband. But all what they are doing today, for it's already prior arrangements, that you must remember, the husband, the first one, gave 3 talaq, and then she goes into iddat. He speaks to his friend or somebody that he must get married to his ex-wife for 1 day, 1 week, and then divorce her, and then she'll sit in iddat and then get married to the first husband. That is null and void, and she's not halal for the first husband. Authentic hadith, remember, la intermidi la anallahu al-muhallila wal-muhallala lahu, that remember that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala's curse is on the first and the second husband, and this is the verdict of the the four schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, and remember Imam Abu Hanifa's two students, with Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Rahimahullah. They say that that nikah is null and void, and she will not be halal for the first husband. So that is what Islam teaches us.
Ustad, I have got three daughters and one son. I want to give them my share. Must I give all equal, Ustad?
So you must remember, if you want to give them during your lifetime, you give equal. You give 100,000 and you got four children, two sons, two daughters, three sons, one daughter. So you give each one 25,000, for example, and that's permissible, but it must be given to them. They must take possession of it, and no conditions, no strings attached. That is what Islam teaches us. But if you are speaking about inheritance, inheritance is after your death, then remember, they can't be equal. Then the law will be لِذَكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ, and that will be, you must remember that what we are saying, that the ratio 2 to 1. So 2 to 1 will mean that in a case like that, that we will say that that's compulsory. You can't change the law of Almighty Allah, and the Quran warns us of the Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verses 13 and 14. So remember, in 13, you do things properly, وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and you do things incorrectly, it's like challenging the law of Allah. Surah chapter 4, verse 14, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. So remember that, that whoever disobeys Almighty Allah and His Messenger Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, Almighty Allah dispatches such people to Jahannam and the hellfire for very, very long time. وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for such a person there is a humiliating and disgraceful punishment.
So if my son cannot afford the meher, the girl asked for, Ustad, can he take a loan? And if he does so, then does he get to live with her? Does the loan have to be paid back first, Ustad?
If he can't afford the mahar, then how is he to live with her? Her demands will be so much from then. So just forget her. His history carry on with the geography. So she's saying you must give 10,000 rand mahar. That is a time of nikah. Mm-hmm. What will happen afterwards then? So remember, in a case like that, he must not get married to her. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wa dain. Oh, beloved Allah, I seek your protection. And that is from blasphemy and debts. The Sahaba, the beloved students and companions of the Master alayhi salam, were amazed and astonished. So remember, they said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, qala na'am, I am almost equating them, meaning to show the Ummah, Islam allows to go into debts, but it's frowned upon and discouraged, so abstain from it. So you don't have to get married to her, you can get married to somebody else. And she seems to be a very, very dominating person. So why should you get married? How many times are you going to take loans afterwards then? So look for some simple girl and just forget her.
Muftisab, I am divorced, and I heard that my daughter was married without my consent. Is her nikah valid, Ustad?
It depends now who you are. Are you the father or are you the mother? So you must remember, if you the mother and your daughter got married without your consent, but she is happy and her father gave consent, so the nikah is valid. So your permission is not compulsory. It is desirable, but not compulsory. It's not a prerequisite for the validity of nikah. If you are the biological father and remember your daughter got married without your consent, then remember the nikah is not permissible. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, his authentic hadith in Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood, la nikaha illa biwaliyin, that nikah is not permissible except with the consent of the father, biological father, not stepfather and adopted father and all that. And remember that in that case there, that nikah will be null and void if permission was not taken from the father, grandfather, grandfather. Grandfather means dada, or pa, sapa, opa. Oh, you must remember the brother. Brother don't mean now small laitiki, they're 8, 10 years old. Brother 18, 20, 20, 30, 40 years old, like that. Oh, you must remember uncle, pa, sabrur, that is your father's brother. So you must take permission from one of them, then only the nikah will be valid, otherwise it's null and void.
Ustad, is engagement a part of Islam when setting a date for a wedding? Is this considered as engagement, Ustad?
Remember that now my son is getting married to Mona Arafat's daughter, example we're just giving. So you must remember that now today is the nikah, for example. So the day of the nikah, that is called khutbah. Khutbah will be that the imam, the presiding officer, will read the verses from the noble Quran and so forth and so on. So the nikah will be performed. Another word here I want to teach you, because I see is a common error. Even today somebody sent me nikah, N-I-K-A-H. I don't know from where people got this. Even in the invitations, they write N-I-K-K-A-H. Nikah. There's no nikah. It's wrong that. It's nikah, N-I-K-A-H. And some people go make another mistake. N-I-K-A-A-H. Nikah. That also is wrong. It's N-I-K-A-H. So you must know all these terms. You are Muslims, you know. So anyway, so in a case like that, now the two parties meet and they have khitbah, so that they make mumi too and whatever. So Islam allows that, but ulama condemn it nowadays, and rightly so, because today when you have engagement, then the boy and girl already touching one another and they are smiling for the cameras and the video, and then the ring will go on, and all that A to Z is haram. So khitbah, that concept where you the promise, that is fine, but the method we are adopting today, that is condemned in Islam. Okay, that was our final question. Next up, we have the news with Brother Alpha Sinkosi, and thereafter, the news roundup, current affairs, and then 1 o'clock Adhan, and thereafter, inshallah, we will continue with Surah Hajj, and that will be verse number 41, our starting point, and thereafter, Surah Nisa, and verse number 6 will be our starting point from our archives. And again, to repeat what Mona Arafat said, any business wants to advertise with Merkaz Sahaba, you're welcome to do so free of charge, provided that your merchandise, your items are permissible. And we will give you free from now, right till Ramadan, approximately 3 months. And inshallah, that we contact our receptionist, and that is our brother Suleiman Esop at 011-854-2990. Barakallahu feek, jazakallahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Brother Alpha Nkosi.
Merkaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.